Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Infinite Potential of Being Human podcast, a space where we will be revealing what is it that is getting in the way of our potential as human beings, as a species, diving into a deep inquiry into body, mind, consciousness, our way of being on the planet today, and our current relationship with our reality and with reality itself. My name is Nikki Clinch. I am your host. I will be sharing the science, research, and evidence, and coming into this podcast from the paradigm of ontology, looking at why you are the way you are, not as a you problem, but looking at it from the context of a human problem. This is not about you. This is about being human. My intention is that in this podcast, you will discover so many blind spots that are running you and your life and how reality is unfolding, and that you can start to experience yourself as part of the human species rather than just an individual stuck in a story trying to solve your own problems. This is the time now on our planet to remember and embody and realize our infinite potential as a species. If you want to dive even deeper beyond this podcast, you can download our 21 Days of Expansion, 21 powerful body-mind ontological activations, meditations, for you to be able to work with your own rewiring and neural pathways to be able to create a fundamental shift in how you experience yourself, how you experience your reality, and the way in which you are a co-creator in the world that you are getting. So just hit the link below to download 21 Days, and that can be yours starting now. But for now, let's dive into this podcast, The Infinite Potential of Being Human. I am so excited for you to explore and inquire and receive all the teachings and richness and education of the episodes ahead. Thank you so much. I'm Nikki Clinch. I'm delighted to be here with you. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Infinite Potential of Being Human podcast. My name is Nikki Clinch, and I am your host. Welcome back to all our regular listeners, and welcome to all our new listeners. We're getting a lot of new listeners every week, and it is such a joy to welcome you all here into this conversation, because this conversation is relative to everybody here. Not just some of you, all of you, including myself. This is a process of inquiry into why we're being the way we are. Why do we struggle with what we struggle with? And what is the potential right now in order to evolve, in order to change, in order to heal, in order to break the cycles and the patterns that we seem to be repeating through generations and seemingly completely unconscious to it in blind spots, which of course, whatever is blind, not only will have the power to run your life, but does have the power to run our lives. And so our ability to bring consciousness to what is unconscious from a human being context, from an ontological context, is, yes, seemingly at times uncomfortable, confronting, challenging, but I would say healing, empowering, liberating, to have a moment where we remember and experience ourselves as part of the human species, rather than these individual people with our individual problems, with our individual stories, carrying the depth of loneliness and separation and lostness that so many human beings struggle with, that actually, if we can even just get a flicker, just even a flicker of remembering that we are part of one species, not from a conceptual place, but to really feel it, then this podcast has been a gold moment, a gift for all of us. Because that moment of remembering is the beginning of everything. So today I want to dive into a topic that I am a little conscious might be triggering, but hell, that's never stopped me before. So let's have the conversation. And I want to remind you that I am also part of the human species. I do not think I'm any different or separate or better than anyone listening here. In fact, everything you have to work on, I have to work on. And I have been working on. I think the only distinction that maybe I have is I have been able and gifted and privileged enough to have been able to learn these things, not just from working with so many human beings, but also from working with myself in my own maturation, that maybe I'm just like, I've traveled the journey a little bit further along, but my teacher has traveled the journey a hell of a lot further along than me. So I definitely do not see myself as better than or separate. Everything that you struggle with, I struggle with. Everything that any of us struggle with, we struggle with. And anything that is a solution for me is a solution for you. And anything that I have discovered that is powerful within me is also powerful within you. Because this is not a you or me problem or solution. This is a human problem and a human solution. This is our evolution. This is our potential. And that's the exciting part. So today's topic, I want to dive into an inquiry around psychedelics. In particular, I want to create the distinction of what I feel is the beautiful marriage between psychedelics and maturation together, and why I see it as fundamental to work on both and together. And together they make a beautiful, beautiful, profoundly powerful marriage. And that is certainly what has gifted me with the acceleration of healing and evolution and growth that I have personally been through. And I have been lucky enough to facilitate and witness many who have been through the same. And it seems to be a powerful partnership, bringing consciousness to being human and what it is that is driving us and running us and living us as human beings in relation to our experience of the world and also our generating and creation of reality, whilst working with these master teacher plants that have profound depths of wisdom and power in them in order to expand our states of consciousness and our states of awareness in a way that is so beyond human, so beyond what we can do ourselves, because of course they are plants. They are not human. So together, in my experience, it's been a really powerful and profound marriage. And I really want to kind of create that distinction here. Why? So let me just kind of begin. I think also it's an important topic to dive into because psychedelics is and has and is continuing to become a really popular piece of society and culture today, which is in itself a kind of mind-blowing thing. You know, when I first flew to the Amazon and started working with ayahuasca, I think this was like 13 years ago, it certainly was not popular and being used regularly by a lot of people. It was kind of an underground hidden secret. And it was only really there for the hardcore and the ones seeking something beyond the normal. Nowadays, my God, I think that plant medicines are being used, unfortunately, almost like it's every day, sometimes recreationally. It's harder now to find a retreat that doesn't have some kind of plant medicine involved with it, whether it is with a trained curandero or shamanic facilitator or not. it has and is becoming kind of integrated into this surge of self-evolution that is taking place on our planet. And you can hear from the tone of my voice that it's clear that I don't think that it is all good. And I'm going to dive into why in a bit. Let me begin by sharing my story with psychedelics. And this is just my experience and my story. And I think it's important that I set the table with you so that you have some sense of the fact that I have some experience with it. I certainly would not call myself a facilitator or a shaman, even though it is partly what I am training in. But God, I kind of feel like I'm going to have long white hair and have started shrinking by the time I'm experienced enough and have learned enough before I feel ready to facilitate it. Or maybe never. Maybe I'll never reach that point in this lifetime. Certainly not at the level that the Shipibo maestros and maestras that I have worked with and that have been using it and training with it since the day they were born. But my experience with psychedelics goes over 12, 13 years. I mean, when I was an addict, I dabbled with, well, that's such a lie. I didn't dabble with anything. I ruthlessly lost myself in many, many, many drugs. I would take drugs to oblivion. In fact, anything that would give me a high and would allow me to access my heart and connection and love, I would take it, and I would take it a lot. So I was one of those addicts where I wasn't that interested in any kind of drugs. And I call them drugs because I didn't use them in a medicinal way. Even though some of them, the plants, I have started to work with again, but the context from which I work with them doesn't feel like drugs. It feels like medicine. And I think that's an important distinction as well. I was using drugs, hands down. I was using drugs, and what distinguishes it as drugs is I was using it to escape myself and my life. When I was an addict, I was using ketamine, LSD, mushrooms, or also known as psilocybin. I remember taking liquid mescaline, literally like it was water. I remember one time taking so much that it took me 7 days to come back down. Clearly extremely reckless and unconscious in why I was using these powerful medicines. My relationship to any of it certainly was not about healing or seeing any of it as medicine. The only thing I wanted was to escape. Escape being myself. Escape having a human experience. Escape having to be responsible for my human experience. Escape having to be responsible for anything. So my relationship with many of these plants was extremely destructive. And so even though I had profound moments, it didn't offer me anything of lasting healing, because when I came back down off the drugs, I would have to be a human being again. And I didn't want to be responsible for that. I just wanted the high. Now, I'm not just sharing this with you because this is interesting, or maybe it's not interesting. I hope it's interesting. I'm sharing it with you because there is an important distinction here. That as high as you get, and as deeply connected as you feel, and I had profound moments when I felt God, particularly on mescaline, I still had to come back to being a human. And when I came back to being a human, the experiences that I had on the medicines, the drugs, gave me absolutely nothing to integrate or change it into my life. Why? Because it's not the medicine's job. That's my job and I was not interested in it. I just wanted the high. I just wanted the experience. I didn't want to actually integrate it and learn how to live differently. So that's how I started with these medicines. And then I got clean and I came into my recovery and I started doing an awful lot of work on myself. And 10 years in to my own healing journey, even though everything was looking tidier, I was not, you know, a full down drunk and drug addict anymore. I had a job, I had a boyfriend, I looked healthy, I ate healthy, I did yoga, I did meditation. Deep down inside, I was still struggling with the same suffering. By that time, I had not found maturation. In fact, I found psychedelics, again, from a medicinal standpoint, the same time as I found maturation. And maybe that's because I'm lucky. I hope that you also are that lucky. I took myself off to the Amazon the first time, and I did it in a pretty brutal way. I was 30 years old. So actually that was 15 years ago now. And I found a shaman that I wanted to work with. And I had seen a friend of mine watching him on YouTube, and I saw him once and I immediately was like, I need to go and work with him. Within a week, I booked a flight. I had contacted him and I was off. I went off to the Amazon on my own as a 30-year-old woman, and I was planning to be there for 5 weeks. I showed up at this shaman's house on my own. He wasn't running a retreat. It was just me and him. And we began our work. That first 5 weeks was hardcore. Hardcore. It certainly wasn't anything remotely recreational. And I'm grateful for every moment of that training because it was proper hardcore spiritual training. When I arrived, he gave me a medicine called Ohe, which is often given to heroin addicts. And I was purging on the floor of the Amazon jungle for 8 hours. I had to down, I think, 11 liters of water throughout, just constantly, because actually Ohe is a poison. And if I didn't drink the water and get it out of my body, it would poison me. So I was purging on the jungle floor for 8 hours, downing these buckets of water, and it was hell. And I remember being on the floor of that jungle, literally covered in mud, with very little dignity, deeply humbled, thinking, what the hell have I done? Anyway, when I came out of that and I made it through, the shaman then said, you now have to sit in silence for 7 days on your bed in the maloka, which is, you know, kind of like a bamboo structure that is where you sleep. And you need to stay on your bed and you can't move off your bed except when you need to go to the bathroom. And first, you need to do this before I'll even let you drink any ayahuasca. So I'm like, what? I just wanted to go there and someone give me this medicine so that it would fix me and solve the problem of me and then I can go home. But that wasn't what happened. He was a smart man. And thank God he knew better than me, because if it had been up to me, I probably wouldn't have had the change that and the transformation that it gave me. So after I drank the Ohe, I was allowed to have a little chicken broth, and then I had to go and sit on my bed and I started my 7 days. Boy, it was like hell. It was like torture. Within day three, I felt like I was going mad. My mind was just going insane. My body was itching and fidgeting and twitching like I had ants running all over me. I've never felt so uncomfortable in my life. I couldn't stop the noise of my own mind. And I was only allowed to eat 2 meals a day of like rice and plantain and like basically no flavor. So I literally had no distraction. I wasn't allowed to use anything to distract myself. I don't even think I was allowed to journal. When he came in to bring me one of my meals, I asked him to give me a piece of paper and I wrote on the piece of paper, "This is too hard. I can't do this. It's too big a mountain for me to climb." And he said to me, "First, you need to get strong on the inside, spiritually." He said, "You have no center. This silence and the medicine you've taken already is about giving you a solid pull that runs all the way through your center that will be unshakable. You have no center," he said. "You have nothing rooting you down." I was like, geez. At the time, it made very little sense to me. Now I look back on that girl that I was, and it was absolutely right. So I went back to my bed, and I continued. By day 5, I had a massive breakthrough. The struggle and the battle of my own mind and all the resistance that I was in just stopped. And I started to get these waves of emotion just flooding through my body, and then they would pass. And then they would flood my body, and then it would pass. And the thoughts of my mind would just cross my mind, and I would see them cross, but somehow that they wouldn't attach, or I wouldn't attach to them. And for the first time in my whole life, I had moments of real peace, which I believe was the beginning of me discovering a new way to be, a new way to be in relationship with being me. I made it through the 7 days. To this day, it was one of the most powerful spiritual trainings that I've ever had. I'm so grateful to that shaman. After my 7 days, I was allowed to sit in ceremony with ayahuasca. I have drunk ayahuasca over 35 times, which I guess is a decent amount, but I know people who have drunk a lot more than that. I have also worked with many of the other medicines. I have worked with Wachuma, which is also known as San Pedro. I have worked with Iboga. I have worked with psilocybin. And I have worked with Tree of Light, Nuirao. Whilst I have been in the Amazon jungle, I have also dieted several other plants. So when I was in the Amazon for 5 weeks, as well as working with ayahuasca 2 to 3 times a week, I was also dieting a different plant every 2 days. So I was dieting tobacco, which is also a plant medicine. I dieted bobinsana, chacruna, which is a big tree. And I can't remember the rest, actually. What I have learned is that every plant has its own spirit and its own masterful teachings. And I had to follow such a strict diet. I was only eating 2 meals a day, and it was just plain rice, lentils, 1 green plantain, and maybe a little bit of fish or a little bit of chicken, but basically boiled with no flavor. And I was told at the time that I was eating that way so that I was taking in as little of the energy and the spirit of the food, and I was clearing as much of my own personal energy out of the way, and I was taking on the energy of the plant that I was dieting. What was so profound was after my 2nd week, I think I was by this time dieting tobacco and also drinking ayahuasca every couple of days. I remember sitting outside the tambo, and there were all these monkeys in the tree, and they had always been there. They were there every day. But this particular morning, the monkeys came down from the trees and just started walking over me, like literally walking over my legs. And I said to the shaman, "What's happening?" And he said, "They don't see you as a human being anymore. Your energy field is like a plant." And that was the moment when I realized, oh, this is why we do the diet. This is why they call it a dieta. This is what we're actually doing. We're clearing as much of our own ego, our own identity, our own personal field. And we are taking on the teachings of these master plants so that we can take them in and learn from them. I'm sharing this with you because that's actually how I've been taught it's meant to happen. The integrity of working with these master teachers, these master plants, it's so much more than just the expansive high or the psychedelic visuals and the images that we get and the purging and the releases. It's a deep spiritual training and commitment. And, you know, I think that's really where I see the problems are showing up today. And anything powerful that has immense amounts of power, which plant medicines do, that is put in the hands of the human species, will always be used through and from the consciousness of that human species. So the plant and the medicine itself, yes, is masterful. But if put in the hands of human beings that are not using it in masterful ways or not committed to being in a relationship with it in masterful ways of integrity, then of course the plant gets misused. It's the same with money. It's the same with food. It's the same with technology. It's the same with anything that has real power. It's not the thing that is bad or good or great or wrong. It's the human consciousness from which allows that thing to be used. And so psychedelics is becoming very popular in our world today, just like any kind of self-evolution is. But that is both a gift and it's also feeding the problem. If the medicine is being used, led by the incessant hunger of human being, the desperate emptiness inside, the lostness, the homesickness of human beings that just are desperately trying to find something to save them, like I was when I went to the Amazon, without being willing to take on the commitment of actually being a human being. And the change and the responsibility and the integration that is required, well, then does the medicine really get the opportunity to offer its masterful teachings? Or does it just continue to feed and be used or misused in survival ways? You know, I get kind of mortified nowadays because I see people who've had like a few powerful psychedelic experiences, and then they're serving the medicine themselves in retreats with absolutely no experience whatsoever of how to work on a multidimensional level, which is what happens when you open up your field to psychedelics. Have no idea how to read the field, have no idea how to be able to stop any darker energies from coming in. I have seen people be seriously damaged from such facilitation. I have had to personally help people who have come to me after coming back from retreats, who have gone into psychosis, who have been deeply re-traumatized and were being held and facilitated by people that had no right to be serving that medicine. Or even worse, people who are trained, but they're not doing their own work on themselves. And so they're using it to have power and control from a place that is not love. And so once again, just like the episode on manifestation, which in itself is a profoundly powerful tool, if the tool is being used without a human being that is being responsible for who they are being, their maturation, then the tool will be misused. Put it this way. Imagine giving a Porsche to an angry, tantruming four-year-old that's still in a battle with their mother. Does that seem like a good idea? Versus giving a Porsche to someone that has done so much work on themselves and is so responsible for who they're being and humble in the fact that they are human, which means we're, as long as we have a human mind, we are always having to be responsible for being a human being and our maturation and the blind spots that come with that. It's quite a big distinction, isn't it? And these plant medicines are like being given a Porsche engine. They should only be driven and used by people who are highly, highly, highly trained. In fact, the maestras and maestros that I have sat with were born into this lineage. They were taking these medicines as newborns. One of the shamans I worked with was dropped into the middle of the Amazon at 12 years old with a knife and a bucket. And he was left there for 2 years on his own until his father came to pick him up. He had to learn everything he needed to learn from the plants, from the jungle. Some of the shamans I've sat with are so wise. And then I ask them, my God, where did you learn such wisdom? And they haven't read a single book. They haven't read any of the things that we use to deepen our wisdom. They learned everything from the plants. And I get it. The little time that I had in my training, and I've obviously gone back to the Amazon. I've been there now four times. Each training is a deep, profound spiritual training that takes a hell of a commitment. It's not just about having a big experience. Now, I think that we as a species are addicted to having big experiences. And having big experiences that give us moments of enlightenment is actually becoming quite the norm these days. But the big experience is not what is going to change your life. It's when you come home and you have to face being you again as a human being, living in a human body, living a human experience in your life. That's where the real ceremony begins. How responsible are you ready to be for the lessons that you learned from the plants? How much change are you willing to make? How many actions are you willing to take? What are you ready and willing to let go of because you are so committed to turning your lessons from the plants into your 3D reality? That's where your maturation is fundamental, because maturation is not a method. It is an invitation to shift the relationship that you have with being a human being. And as long as you are a human being, this relates to you. And so I think that psychedelics are a profound piece to our evolution. I will continue to work with them. I just came back from Peru, having done a 2-week Tree of Light dieta. Hands down, the hardest, most intense, most challenging and humbling work I have ever done. And still, the biggest ceremony has been since I have come home. How committed am I willing to be to the diet? I had to stick to the food dieta for 2 months after I came back from Peru. I've been on a no sex dieta. I'm on it for 6 months and I'm committed. How committed am I willing to be to being in integrity to what I have learned about myself, to who I have been shown I am? And that's not easy. I am ending a marriage, 13-year marriage. I'm selling my house. I am having to make huge changes, because it is only in the actions that we take that follow the visions that turn the vision into 3D reality. In fact, a vision without action is just a hallucination. And most people can just get lost in the hallucination and the fantasy without actually being ready to take the actions, which is hard and difficult and scary and courageous, but That is what responsibility is. That is our power. That's the part that changes our life. I think it's also really important to know that each medicine has a different gift. It has a different heritage. It has a different masterful power and spirit and intention. Ayahuasca, yes, it takes you into profound visions and psychedelic images and beauty and helps you see who you really are beyond this human identity. But it also allows you to purge deeply from the body. Iboga is the root. It's a root. It goes downwards. It takes you into the body of where the trauma and the memories of your history are frozen in your body, in your cells, and it will take you there to feel it, face it, release it. It can also take you karmically back, and you can give you the opportunity to change timelines. Wachuma, in my experience, is like the energy of God, the sunlight, grandfather, helping us experience and remember true life force, which is who we really are, and that there is no separation between who we are and nature and life itself, and experience the power of sexual life force, creativity, aliveness, vitality in the body. Psilocybin, in my experience, is galactic. They're like teachers from another planet, giving us downloads and information so far beyond this human planet. So much wisdom, so much, just, it's masterful. Tree of Light, woof, it's like the grandmother to all of it. In my experience, Tree of Light is the tree that glows in the dark, transcendent light. In my experience, Tree of Light so far has been to fill me with so much light, stretching my cells to fill me with more light while simultaneously pushing out everything that is in my cellular body that is of a lower frequency. So hardcore purging, hardcore releasing, karmic clearing, whilst also letting in much, much more light beyond human light. These medicines are master teachers, and they should be facilitated by master teachers. I do believe that they are part of our future. I also do believe that we don't need to take plant medicine to experience these other states of consciousness. We can go there with just our maturation, but they do accelerate the process. If you are thinking of working with any medicines, please do your research. Make sure that who you are choosing to facilitate you has profound levels of experience. In fact, are they from the heritage of the medicine? Have they been born into this lineage? Have they been trained this since they were born? Are you being facilitated and held by people who you feel safe with and you trust, that if you are to go to places that you have been running from your whole life, you trust them to hold you there? Be conscious and thoughtful about how you choose. Please do not mess with these medicines recklessly. I have had a client who was reckless with messing with the medicine, and she went into such a psychosis, she almost never came back. Thank God she did. These are not games. It's like being given a Lamborghini engine. Have you been trained to drive it? Are you with someone that is trained to drive it? And even more importantly, if you are going to work with these medicines, are you ready to work with them, not just to have a big experience, but are you ready to take it home and be the one to change your own life? The power is in you. You are the only one that can actually make the changes. The medicine actually needs you to be the one to facilitate the change into 3D reality. So if you're going to go and work with medicines, are you going with that level of commitment? Because if you are, get ready because your whole life can change. Your whole reality. I have come back from an iboga ceremony, 2-day ceremony, where I was literally on the medicine for 2 days. And I released so much in my body between my mother and my bond or lack of bond, that when I came home, something had released in my daughter's body. I mean, that's how powerful this stuff is. But then I have to continue doing the work to ensure that the relationship between my daughter and myself is coming from a new paradigm and not just going back and repeating the same stuff I just released. The real work is not in the ceremony with the medicine. That's just the preparation. The real work is when you come home and you are ready to be the co-creator of your own reality. And that's our maturation. Are you ready to be so responsible for your own world that you are both the participant and the facilitator of it? And that's our power. When we're ready to be that committed and that responsible, then sure, give me a Lamborghini. I'll drive it. And I will drive it with integrity and humility and consciousness. So I hope that this has been helpful for you. It's been helpful for me too. I love these episodes. I love having these inquiries. I hope that they serve you well. Remember that all of this is from a human being context. This is about our relationship to being a human being. It's not a you problem. It's a we problem. So if this has served you, and you think it can help or serve someone else, please share this episode with someone else that you think it can help. Share this podcast with other people that you think it can help. That's the best way you can really support us, is to spread it far and wide. If you are loving this podcast, please do go to Spotify and Apple and leave us a star rating. And even more so, go to Apple and leave us a written review, so that Apple basically gives us the platform to reach as many human beings as possible. Please do share with us any aha moments, insights, any questions. You can always write comments underneath our posts on Instagram to the podcast. You can write to support@nikkiclinch.com. You can come into your maturation and work with us so that we can support you in this next phase. Otherwise, thank you for listening. I look forward to being back here with you next week. You are listening to the Infinite Potential of Being Human podcast. My name is Nikki Clinch, and I am your host. That's it, folks. Thank you so much for listening to the Infinite Potential of Being Human podcast with myself, Nikki Clinch, as your host. If you want to ensure that you experience a fundamental shift, not just in how you are living your life, but in who you are being in it, a paradigm shift in who you are being starting now, please download our 21 days of expansion activation process. 21 activations for 21 days of body, mind, ontological activations for you to be able to work with you both in the experiential aspects of your body and the wiring of your neural pathways in your mind. You can own this for the rest of your life and create that shift starting now. From this place, you can discover the infinite potential of being human and the aspects of the power and the aliveness that is waiting for you to discover it and realize it now. So download the link below to access your 21 days of expansion and let us know how those shifts start landing in your world. Thank you so much for listening. This is the Infinite Potential of Being Human podcast with Nikki Clinch. I will see you next week.